This episode of the Android Central Podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, and online store. For free trial and 10% off, visit squarespace.com/android and enter the offer code Android at checkout. A better web starts with your website. Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 185 for Friday, May 16th, 2014. Welcome back. Welcome to the show. It's Friday. I have no idea where this week went. I don't know about you guys, but it was like last Friday we just did this, and now it's this Friday. And I think we did some stuff in between. I think we've had a little bit of Android news, but damn, it's been a quick one. So let's just get to it. In Seattle, Andrew Martinick.
Oh, if I wasn't muted, I'd be able to say hi. But now I'm not, so hi.
I was going to say you just managed it anyway. Jerry Hildenbrand in West Virginia.
Hey, hey, hey.
Alex Dobie in England.
Hey, everyone.
And I am Phil Nickinson. We are AndroidCentral.com. You are AndroidCentral.com. It's not just us. It's a lot of us, I guess. It's mostly Jerry, actually, if you really want to know.
Well, I didn't do it.
So how's that? I'm in a good mood. I had some sushi for lunch. It's beautiful outside. I have this giant dirt compactor they're putting in a parking lot outside my office here. And can you guys hear that?
Nope.
Nope, because my whole office is shaking right now. It's kind of crazy. All right, maybe not. Wow, that's loud. So, yeah, I'm in a good mood. Where do you guys want to start? We've got a whole lot going on. We've got, like, new phones. You want to talk about new phones?
Devices, lots of them.
Let me find. I've got one sitting over here. Somebody else start. What do you want to start with?
I'm looking at the script, so I'm going on script with the HTC One Mini 2. Well, this thing right here.
I've got that one. Oh, wait, you have one too. Cool.
Yep, well, I just dinged up inside the microphone. Never mind. There we go. So the HTC One Mini 2 on 3.4G.
It's an HTC One, only smaller.
Kind of. It's kind of an HTC One without some of the cool stuff.
I think without most of the cool stuff.
Well, you're missing, I guess, talking sort of biased from what I use most on the M8, motion launch I'm missing on this.
Oh, yeah.
I guess the camera, although that's kind of a contentious issue because it's not, let's jump into specs. It's a 13 megapixel camera versus the 4 megapixel ultra pixel, right? So it's not just different, it's going to be better at daylight because it's more megapixels. It's probably going to be worse at low light because you have smaller pixels on the sensor. So there's a bit of weirdness there. You don't have the fancy double tap to unlock stuff. You don't have the duo camera, obviously. But it's a surprising amount of M8, I think, has made it across into this thing.
What was Jerry going to say? Jerry was going to say something.
I was going to say, before we get too far, we got to talk about that name.
Yeah. Yeah, the name is kind of dumb.
And the Sprint Galaxy S2, Epic 4G Touch. Look at the hell with that phone through.
And here's the thing, that they kind of, it goes back to them basically digging a hole for themselves either a year ago with the HTC One or 2 years ago with the HTC One X and One S. The problem is you have this device, which they're not calling an M8 because M8 has kind of morphed from a code name into a brand in its own right. So they don't want to call it an M8 because it doesn't have the ultra-pixel camera, doesn't have motion launch, doesn't have the duo camera. But it's still an HTC One, yet it has the look of the M8, and they're calling it the One Mini 2 because it's a successor to the One Mini, which launched last year. And it's just like, okay, this is kind of probably the best name they could have come up with, but it's still not very good.
But if you dive into the build prop, you know what it says.
M8 Mini.
M8 Mini.
Well, it says it on the back of the phone if you look.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, next to all the FCC info.
That's so...
Yeah, it's the M8 Mini, basically.
Tiny.
You got to imagine at some point that, I don't know, I don't know how brand names evolve, but anyway, that's the name it's got. It doesn't, I guess, hurt your enjoyment of the phone, but it's just, it's more confusion, it's more branding on HTC's part that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and it's going to confuse the average consumer, and that's not what they need when they're trying to come out of a slump.
And that's why I'm concerned about it. You know, I don't care if they call it the whistling toucan, whatever they want to call it, but HTC, of all people, needs to provide an easy-to-navigate catalog if they want to sell phones.
All right. All you guys out there, remind me. There's our show name for this week, the Whistling Toucan. Got it. We're like 5 minutes into the show and we got it already. I love that. This thing looks and feels, I mean, it looks and feels like a mini M8. It's a smaller display. It's a 4.5 inch display. And it's even smaller than the M7 was. That was 4.7, I believe. But yeah. Oh my God, it feels so like this is the size. This is the size I want the M8 to be. It's almost the exact same size as the M7. Here they are side by side.
Which that's the funny part about it.
Well, you say it's exactly the same size. It's more or less the same height. It is narrower, though. And we all know you can get away with the tall phone more than you can get away with the wide phone.
Yes.
And I think that's what makes it feel maybe a bit smaller in the hand than the M7.
I don't know if I'd want it without Zoe's and without video highlights.
Well, it has video highlights.
Does it put them together?
I think so. And try now.
Now it doesn't have the Zoe app either, it has the Zoe app. Yeah, nothing will. Yeah, when it comes out later this summer. But yeah, I mean, it won't shoot, you know, Zoe images, and for me that was a big thing.
Well, it doesn't have the Zoe shooting mode, right?
Right.
And there's always been this weird crossover between Zoe's and video highlights, but it has the video highlight side, just not the Zoe side. Okay. So you can take, you know, you can rapid fire images just by hammering the shutter button, and it'll spin those into video highlights, but what it won't do is you won't get this, you know, the special Zoe shooting mode or any of the duo camera stuff, so it won't be able to work that in there, and I guess your video highlights won't look quite as cool.
I think so, especially about the 3D effects, because those have really added to video highlights, I think, in this latest version. I mean, it's not a bad phone. Do we have pricing? Because it's not a US phone. It's Europe, Middle East, and Asia.
I don't think so. They said two tiers below the M8, which is what they said with the last mini relative to the M7, and that I think appeared around about £300, £330, £350-ish. About what you would get for an M7 now.
Some people were talking about somewhere in the low 400 euros at least.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, don't forget,
which seems like a bit of a stretch.
This thing is now till June. Pre-order prices now probably are going to shift between now and launch.
Hey, I hate to tell you, but June's like 2 weeks away.
Yeah, but
halfway through May already.
I know, right? It's a really nice feeling phone. I like it a lot. The speakers are not as loud as the M8, and that's to be expected. They're not bad at all. I'm trying to think what else. The display's all right. It's 720. I'm fine with that. At 4.5 inches, absolutely.
I think it's the colors you notice more than either pixel density or brightness. I think if you've gone from having the exact same wallpaper and icon setup on an M8 to an M8 Mini, then it's going to, Mini 2, whatever. You can tell that certain colors like reds and greens aren't quite as vivid as they were before. But it's still a perfectly good display.
So Alex is going to crank out the review on that.
Yeah.
I've got it. It's cool. What else? You guys went to London for a Motorola event on Tuesday, right?
We got the Moto E, which I don't have. The Moto G 4G, which I also don't have. So, yeah, Phil's got one there.
I have an E.
Go ahead.
Here's the E next to the Moto X. It's smaller. It's fatter. It feels more like a Moto G than it does a Moto X. It's got a QHD, as in lowercase q, as in, I don't remember what it means.
960 by 540.
Yeah. That is bare minimum, I think, what I would allow as an acceptable resolution anymore. At that size, though, it's okay. Like, I can tell because I know, and I know what it is. And it's another one of those displays that has, like, you know, the weird kind of, not parallax thing, but, like, if you turn it, it's just got weird, not glare, but something.
That's a viewing angle thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean,
there's a gap between the glass and the display.
Something, like if you do anything but straight on, it just starts looking a little weird. For most people, they're not going to notice, I think. It'll be just fine.
We have flagship phones from last year that had viewing angle issues, right?
Yeah, so. I mean, that happens. Otherwise, it looks and acts like a Motorola smartphone right now. Kind of the big deal about this, and I don't think it's quite a big deal as we've been talking about, is the Motorola Assist app. So it's one of those emergency contact apps. So you designate your contacts.
It's Motorola Alert, I think, isn't it?
Yes, Motorola Alert. And then they can follow you around. It can spit out your location every 5 minutes or whatever you want. You can tell somebody to, hey, I'm here. Come meet me right now. Please help. You can have it check you in at places, so it's sort of like almost automatic Foursquare check-ins, only it sends it to specific people and not everybody. And then my favorite is the big red emergency button. Can you see that? What do you think happens if I push it? Should I do it?
I think you're going to show us.
I think I'm going to do it. You ready? Here, I'll point it this way so you can see it. You get a 5-second countdown. Did I hit it? Yep. And then all of a sudden it goes... We're all going to die!
My new ringtone.
And you can see I can turn the alarm off if I want. Oh, sorry, I can be quiet now.
Can you set that as your actual alarm in the morning, that sound?
I could, because it's just an MP3 file in the app. So I might do that to my wife and see what happens. What do you think?
Set every alert tone on her device.
Do it to my kids and really freak them out. So right now, that's only on the Moto E. Let me turn that off. Actually, when I first tested it yesterday, I put my wife in as the contact. I was like, all right, I'll put her in the contact so I don't scare anybody, forgetting that I didn't tell her what I was doing. And fortunately, she didn't, bother checking it till later. So, I mean, she gets these text messages saying, Phil is in trouble, blah, blah, blah. And she turns around, and I'm just sitting there at the kitchen table after dinner. She's like, what are you doing? And I'm fine, thanks. So, actually, I put myself in as the contact today as I was doing more testing. So, word to the wise, if you designate an emergency contact, tell them you did it.
Okay, Phil, when that comes out for the Moto X, you can ignore all the Jerry's in danger posts.
So, and that's the thing, right? You can really screw with people with this. Asking about the Moto X, it does actually work just fine on that. Not available in the Play Store for it yet, and I don't know why. I'm not sure what they're waiting on. I don't know if they're testing or what. But anyway, the APK works just fine. So I was curious. It's the price point more than anything, right? What is it, £150? $129?
No, way less.
$89. That's right. Sorry. $129 US. It's going to be in 80 countries. The question is, do you get this or do you get a Moto G?
Well,
the kind of person that isn't necessarily going to, who doesn't really want to spend the extra $50.
It's a third less than the Moto G.
I don't think that's the question, Phil.
Oh, yeah?
I think the question is, do you buy the $79 Firefox phone or the Moto E?
Ooh.
It just killed all these other people that are using alternative operating systems and making phones between $75 and $100 because you know what you're getting mostly with right. that little Motorola Android phone, and it's $19 more in the U.S.
I would spend the extra $50 if it was me and get the Moto G.
So would I, but that's because we're nerds.
I think it's like if you think about it as a proportion of the cost, it is much higher, and it is, I think, aimed for people who wouldn't see that jump to the Moto G as value for money, right, for the way they use the phone.
No, right. I get that.
It could be the jump between not buying a phone and then buying a phone rather than I'm already planning on buying a phone and I'm going to save some money. I think it's more of a... you coming from your 4-year-old phone or some Series 40 device or like Jerry said, a Firefox device or something like that.
How are you finding performance on it, Phil? Because I used one very, very briefly.
What? Sorry, I couldn't hear you. I'm under attack.
Phil is in trouble.
I'm calling your wife to come take that away from you.
Man, who am I going to put on there next? I should put Kevin on there.
Oh, God, yes, all of us should.
Phil is in trouble. What are you doing? That's going to be so much fun. Sorry, what was the question? Somebody had a question.
How are you finding performance compared to the G? Because I kind of couldn't really tell any difference when I was playing with the phones at the
end. I don't really think I have either. I think any sort of lag I've seen so far was just like the normal, holy crap, the phone's setting up all the things, so it's going to struggle a little bit. I want to put some games on there and see what happens. Like, I want to put Monument Valley and see if that'll run at all or if it just melts it. So we'll see. I don't know. We're going to see how, in-depth a review we do on this guy. But I like it. It's cool. It's different. I mean, it's not that different. Oh, by the way, the shells come off. So I ordered a couple of those because I want to see what a black one looks like with a white shell. Come on.
Neat.
Ow. There. Oh, that hurts. So anyway, that comes off. They have different colors. Micro SD slot. Can't take the battery out. I'm fine with that. So yeah, I mean, it's $129 phone, guys. It's pretty cool.
if you want to see what a black one looks with a white shelf, you could check out our hands-on video at androidcentral.com.
Ah, sweet. Did you do that?
Yep.
Well, fine. Just steal my thumb. I get it. What else?
Ultra D with LTE.
Yes.
While we're still on that.
Go for it.
So it's a Moto G with LTE. I mean, it's a little bit more expensive, I guess, because you're paying for the cost of the tech to get it in there, the cost of licensing LTE stuff to put in the phone. It also has an SD card, which I think is kind of a big deal because the base model was limited to 8 gigs, which once you've got stuff updated, isn't really a whole lot of anything. Google, it still technically owns Motorola, so make of the decision to put an SD card in that what you will. But I think it's a step in the right direction for that kind of phone, because especially the market it's aimed at, you know, you maybe want to buy the 8 gig version and then have the option of upgrading because it's cheaper in the short term.
It's actually for sale in markets where LTE is kind of a big deal already.
So $219 for a Moto G with 4G or $349 for a Moto X.
Bingo.
That's... Or $300 for a Moto X when they're on sale.
Yeah, I mean, and they're on sale like all the time, but you know, looking at the website right now, $349. That's a tough one. Those are some good... I think they've done a really good job ranging out those price points.
Right. It's not quite a no-brainer in either direction.
Yeah.
They can serve different markets for sure.
Well, yeah, they're making us think we can't just spit out an answer yes, no, based on price. You have to sit back and think. That means they've done their homework.
My answer to that is always spend a little more than you think you want to. Because in the long run, you're going to feel better about it. Like, you're going to get a better buy out of it. It's not 100% always true, and I get that it's not always possible. But for me, that's how I've always done it. Like, I always buy a slightly larger hard drive than I think I'm going to want. I'll always buy more RAM than you think you'll want. You know, just because it'll last you that much longer, theoretically.
My answer is always Moto X.
Fine. Alex finally has the Desire 816. Do you call the 816 or the 816? No.
Is very specifically the 816, not the 816. Don't ask me why.
Okay.
But yeah, it's the Desire 816. And it's, so we got the Mini 2 here. This is very similar internals to that, but in a much larger device. So it's got a 5.5-inch display, kind of plastic construction. So, you know, there's a kind of a big difference between this and HTC's higher end stuff in terms of just the look and the feel. Matte plastic around the outside, glossy plastic on the back, and yes, it is kind of a fingerprint magnet. Strangely, it doesn't feel quite as, I want to say cheap, maybe, as some Samsung phones with the removable backs. The back is fixed on there, so it feels solid, even though it is kind of plasticky. And yeah, it has a power button in possibly the most awkward place for a right-handed person to use it, way up at the top here, on the left corner right at the top, so there's that. I'm kind of surprised how much I'm liking this phone, though. It's a good, solid phone.
That's what everybody says, and I've played with it a couple times. I mean, it's this big flat slab, but it's different than anything else that's out there, which HTC does probably better than anyone doing something different. It's big, it's flat, but you look at it, and you're just like, that's simple, but
it works. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I played all of Monument Valley on this thing with the big screen, the front-facing speakers. Fantastic experience on what is a mid-range phone now.
Yeah.
So, I like it. Spend more time with it. We're going to do a review. And, I think it's out in China. China has the version with Sense 5, which I think is getting updated. Europe will be getting Sense 6 version, which I have here.
And the US will be getting nothing! Nothing for us. Which is too bad, but, you know, we're used to it. So, you guys want to do some Q&A?
Do it.
Let's do some Q&A. Tommy Nuno wants to know, we need Phil's weekly parking update. So, actually, they're out there working right now. Let me go check.
Don't ask him things like that, guy. Look.
They're getting there. I have these giant dirt compactors outside shaking everything, and it's driving me nuts. But I get to watch bulldozers, which is kind of cool. They won't let me drive when I asked. That is Phil's weekly parking update. I should get that sponsored.
Get a jingle made.
Yeah, get theme music, and this week's Phil's parking update is brought to you by, I don't know. Harrison wants to know, will there be a new Nexus tablet announced at Google I.O.? Let's just, you know, we talked a lot about this last week, right, in the HTC tablet rumors, and let's just go up and down. We're actually, what, a month and, or, yeah, a month and a half away from Google I.O. I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to be controversial and say no. I mean, I think we all pretty much know it exists, but I think what they're trying to turn I.O. into now, there's enough there that's going to occupy 2 days without them launching a new tablet.
Actually, I don't think that's July, that maybe. Controversial an idea, yeah.
Well, in considering they did, I mean, they did a solo event just for, well, Android 4.3 and the Nexus 7. It's not at all, wouldn't all be surprising if they did something separate. You know, could be tightly after I.O., but like Alex said, there's plenty to talk about at I.O. that doesn't have to do with the hardware launch.
That is also a rational explanation. Is Jerry abstaining, or does Jerry want
to? You're not going to see a new tablet at I.O. Okay. I don't think so.
Fair enough. Do you guys think the Galaxy S5 Prime will be exclusive to Korea? We're anxiously waiting for a Google Play Edition, but how awesome would an LG G3 Google Play Edition be? I don't know.
Also weird.
Yeah, I'll have to see. I think if Samsung is going ahead with the Prime, it's an important enough product for them that it's going to be global, right? And we've already seen indications that there are multiple versions of it. There's an Exynos version, Snapdragon version. There are product numbers for Europe, it looks like, product numbers for Korea. So I wouldn't think they would have a device like this. And, you know, with such a standout feature like, you know, 2K display, unlimited to Korea, especially when LG is launching their 2K phone, the G3, in 6 cities all over the world.
Do you think whenever Samsung announces whatever this thing ends up being, we're all going to look at each other and be like, oh, that's what it is, and it's going to be something totally different than what we thought?
I think we're going to look at it and think, oh, that's what the Galaxy S5 should have been. I mean, I like a lot of things about the GS5, but I think it strikes me as what they wanted to do. The technology just wasn't there for it yet, and they wanted to release a phone in the first quarter of the year because that's an important window, but the technology just wasn't there yet, I think. It's total speculation, but that's just me connecting dots.
And by the way, the G3 is what, the 27th of May? Yes.
I'll be there for that in London. Cool. With Richard Devine.
Excellent. I'm jealous. I want to come. I can't justify coming to London with both of you there again. I mean, I could if I
really Alex, Richard, you're fired. Phil, what's the
I'm sure you can send Richard off back to the south of France again.
I'll fire one of you and rehire you the next day after I get home. Pablo wants to know, so with the release of the Moto E, do you think the $50 smartphone is still in the pipeline? And if it is, what specs do you guys expect from it? I don't think $50 would happen.
I don't think you can meet that price point once you pay for all the parts and the labor.
I was thinking about this week, actually.
Yeah, Jerry. not at launch, anyways.
Because people like to complain that, you know, when we say we understand why phones cost what they do and why certain components are used and specs aren't necessarily as high as it's everybody would like them to be, right? I decided it's like a restaurant, actually. I mean, you can make whatever the hell you want, right? A restaurant can make anything it wants to, but it still has to sell it and still has to buy the ingredients and it still has to have somebody make the make the meal, make the dish, put it all together. And smartphone, I mean, that's oversimplification, but it's very much the same thing, right? And at the end of the day, somebody has to pay for that. And if they're not willing to pay, you know, that much, or if it costs too much to make it in the first place, then what's it matter?
And we don't. You've been in a factory in South Korea where they assemble these parts. We tend to forget just how much labor and cost is involved there.
Yep.
That's probably the largest portion of a smartphone's cost is getting it manufactured and assembled.
I don't want to say
not counting the R&D that goes into that.
Right.
You know, this is why you look at these bill of materials reports that say your smartphone only costs $100 or $200 in terms of just the stuff that's there that you can see, doesn't count all these hidden costs like manufacturing costs. Labor
those
costs
and stories are such crap. We've seen like 3 of them for Google Glass, and it's like, you're going to keep writing those? Really? No, I mean, I don't want to say who, but I know an engineer. I talked to a lead engineer for, you know, a smartphone manufacturer. that says, I used to work for this group. Now I work for this group, and my hands are in different positions on purpose, right? Now I work for this higher group because I couldn't hit the price. Like, I just could not make a smartphone at the price point they were trying to constrain me to. So they made me go make nicer ones. and that's when it really made sense. It's like, oh, crap, like there really is this finite number they have to hit. So I get it. I also get why it's frustrating. You know, why can't we have all the nice things?
When you're talking about something like a $50 phone, the margins, like we say, are so thin that you're going to have to sell millions upon millions upon millions of those things just to, you know, make it worth your while. You know, say you could make a $50 phone or a $40 phone with 5% margins or something. Is it going to be worth your time in the end? I mean, you have to, there's a cost associated having that much money tied up in something, even if it is going to be profitable in the end, that they could put towards something else that could have higher margins.
I think eventually technology will just take care of that problem, though. keep interrupting, Jerry.
I was just going to tell Andrew, I'm willing to bet you can't build a smartphone for $50. Maybe $50, but not a penny less. I don't see how you can pay for the equipment that you're using to pump out the plastic parts, the people that are standing in the line to snap it all together. That all costs money. I don't see how you can do it for $50, let alone with the parts that you have to buy that you're putting together. I just don't think it's possible.
Fair enough. Let's do one more question. Let's see. I want to bump down a little bit.
We bounced away from how cool would a Google Play Edition G3 be?
I think it'd be cool as a Google Play Edition of anything else. And yeah, I mean, that said, generally we kind of hate on LG software more than anything, right?
Where I was going with it.
So, I see what you're saying there, sure.
You think we see another LG Google Play Edition so quick after the last one?
I don't know.
But they've only, I mean, they've done the Nexuses and then they did the G-Pad 8.3, but that wasn't really that big of a deal at all for them, it doesn't seem. As a product, anyways.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I still think, even, UI notwithstanding, there's still so much, and I hate saying value add. That doesn't mean anything to me. But I think the manufacturers generally add something on top of the stock Google experience, whether it's, Motorola. And Motorola, I don't want to say does the least. I think they do it the best at this point. And I tell you, I've been using the Galaxy S5 all week now. And it's a lot of that I like that is even easier than HTC. And I think there's a lot that Motorola has done. Go back and read what I wrote about Motorola Alert. And just in the setup of that app, it's so simple. And it feels and looks very hollow, right? H-O-L-O, if it's your first time hearing that. And it's one of those things that, like, HTC tries to design itself to simplicity. Motorola's just being simple. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's something to be said for that. I think you can add on top of a Nexus experience or a Google Play experience device. Just some do it better than others. And they all do it differently. And that's good. Choice is good. You know what else is good?
What's that, Phil?
What's good?
We're going to take a little break here because this podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Did you know that? Did you know that, Jerry?
I do now.
You do now. So do you guys know what Squarespace is? It's an all-in-one platform. I'm reading, obviously, but no, I'm not even reading because I use it, actually. Squarespace makes websites, and it makes websites easy, and it makes making websites easy because I'm not a coder. I can barely write English, let alone HTML, right? In fact, I will tell you a personal story. My wife needed a new job, and I said, look, quit, don't stop writing just because nobody's paying for it right this second. They will pay for it later, so I want you to keep writing. I'm going to make you a website, and Squarespace is actually the one I ended up picking very quickly, because within 6 hours, and that's probably because I was eating dinner and stuff, but very, very quickly, I had a domain, I had a website, I had, one or two blogs up and running, so I can write there if I want to. Super easy, just drag and drop, very easy layouts, it's responsive, you have mobile templates. all I had to do was basically pay money. and they took care of it and did everything else. 24/7 support. You know, really, really not expensive at all. $8 a month, free domain name if you sign up for a year, which I think is what I did. So I just did it and it works and it's there. Awesome, right? So I think the really cool thing about that now is they're sponsoring the show, which is great. And you get a free trial with it. You get 10% off if you use the offer code Android at checkout. Jerry's doing it right now. I can see he's typing.
Tappa, tappa, tappa.
It's great. You can set up a store through it as well, actually. I'm trying to find what I have. I could sell all my old phones I have, right? Or is that bad? I think we probably frown upon that. But you can sell stuff.
You may sell tools recycling bin.
No, it's super cool and really awesome that they are sponsoring the show now. So just go to squarespace.com/android. That is the offer code you want to use at checkout as well. Very, very cool. Thank you to them for doing it. You know, they're based in the U.S. They're based in Ireland. Just real, really cool service. I like it a lot. I use it. I used it long ago. So, and with that, back to the show. And what's next? What do you guys want to talk about? You want to talk about all these cool apps we got this week?
Start somewhere. I think Alex mentioned Monument Valley, right?
Very quickly.
That's kind of where you need to start, right? That was a pretty huge deal.
Yeah, it's been out on iOS for, a month or two? The big deal about that, it's using the Unity engine. Jerry, can you explain to me, we hear about graphics engines all the time, but what is it about Unity that's cool? Why is having it on Android kind of a big deal?
Well, having it on Android's a big deal because it's easier for developers to make games that we all know and love. It's something that the developers use. They put in their SDK, and it has pre-built functions in the engines for physics and motion, and all of that's already done for the developers. They don't have to write millions of lines of code to tell you how something will bounce if you throw it against the wall, or how to throw it, or how to know how fast it's going based on how hard you threw it with whatever mechanisms in the game. The engine does all that for you. Unity was a big hit on iOS, and some very immersive games use Unity, big high-tech 3D games, and some other games that are not, you know, your sword and slash hacking style games like Monument Valley. They use Unity. It's very scalable. It works good, and seeing it on Android means that we can expect better games with less development time, and that gives developers more time to focus on things like a storyline or gameplay graphics and stuff to make it even better.
And it means you see maybe a month turnaround from launching on iOS to launching on Android, as opposed to months, you know, or even years.
Just less work, right?
Yep.
It's a great game. I agree, it's a little short. Is it a little short for being $3 or $4? I don't know. I think that's a little subjective. I had a great time playing it. I think it's really well done. I have absolutely no problem paying $4 for this game, even if I finished it on the first day.
No, it's short, but it doesn't overstay its welcome, I think. And if the biggest criticism of a game is that there isn't, you know, is that you want more of it, then that's a good problem to have.
Because they can always add more.
Yep, I think they've talked about maybe doing that for the iOS version already.
I didn't particularly care for the game. It's not my style. Mm-hmm. But I've still more than happily paid $4 for it. It's worth $4 just to check out to see if I liked it or not. It was worth $4.
And by the way, I mentioned I was going to put it on the Moto E and see what it does. It's running just fine. Cool. Now it's on the first level. We'll see what happens as you get more chapters in. But that's good to see. Hey, it doesn't work on art. I saw people, you know, they need to fix it so it works on art. No, yes, at some point Unity will work on art. At some point everything will work on art. If it doesn't right now, you know, that's just the way it is.
Well, that means it sucks. Uninstall.
Oh, stop it.
One star in the market, no art, no buy.
Get your refund, go spend it on some fries at McDonald's to do better for you.
That, you know, and that was my answer to anyone who said it was too short. It was like, look, that cup of coffee you had this morning, how long did that last you?
Good point.
If I do say so myself. So, great game. Go try it if you haven't. Monument Valley. What else? Actually, this is probably one of the bigger stories, I think, this week. Google Play is now taking PayPal for payment. Apparently, yep. I'm the only one who thinks that's a big deal.
It's a big deal, I think, for spreading the reach of Google Play in countries where maybe Google's own payment stuff wasn't around. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff for developers in that respect, I think.
I mean, we're already... for the rest of us. The group of us anywhere, you know, we're locked into, well, not locked into, but we're already into Google Wallet, and we're completely into that, have our Google Play balances. We're using it every month for all of these different apps and our subscriptions to Google Play Music and all that stuff. But, you know, for somebody, I think of it as somebody that's coming in day one, you know, there's probably a better chance if they've never had an Android phone that they have a PayPal account instead of a Google Wallet account set up before they get an Android phone. And this is one less barrier in the way when they go to pull open to buy that book or an app or something. They say, oh, I just plug in my PayPal details here instead of signing up for a Google Wallet account, manually editing a credit card that time.
Or if you don't have a credit card for whatever reason, now you won't have to.
I'm going to go the opposite side. Yep. Having been a victim of one of the recent high-profile credit card company hack things, like Phil said, if you have a credit card or you want to use carrier billing, if you can set up Google Play to just direct bill you and with one of the methods that it bills you and cut out another company that is handling and processing your payments, that's what you should do. I get that PayPal is convenient, and this doesn't go for developers. If you're a developer, you may want access to PayPal funding, you know, and being able to bring income into PayPal. I don't know how that works yet, but for normal users, if you have a credit or debit card, I still say you're better off just directly entering it in Google Play. Only one person to worry about losing your data.
Even better than carrier billing?
Carrier billing adds another level, but carrier billing also keeps your credit card out of it. I don't use carrier billing because I never remember which carrier I'm using when I'm in the Play Store. But if you wanted to use carrier billing to not have to enter a credit card, I couldn't argue against that.
Fair enough. Well, I mean, if you want to go all the way, just go buy a $50 Google Play card next time you're at, you know, whatever store and just load it up that way instead. I mean, I kind of think of it as a way, like I said, if you already have the PayPal account, now your credit card's in PayPal instead of now in PayPal and Google Wallet. So it's kind of like whatever you had first, now it's a less of a barrier because, you know, the first time that somebody powers on the Android phone and they go to buy an app, you know, maybe they don't have their credit card handy, you know, right that minute. And that's a lost sale for Google usually because, you know, they can't, you know, purchase that at that time. And, you know, they can add it to a wish list or whatever and never come back to it. Or they can just put in their PayPal credentials and buy it right then and there.
I'm kind of crazy about how, like, I sign in with my Smartphone Experts account. It's always the second thing I do with a new phone. And it's like, hey, do you want to add a credit card to this? Every single time. It's like, no.
Would you like to join Google Plus?
Yeah, I really don't want to this time. Thanks. I don't know. That's just me. I'm still playing Monument Valley here on the Moto E, by the way. It hasn't melted yet.
How's that going, Pete?
Speaking of money and stuff, Andrew got to play with Billguard, which is kind of a pretty important app, right?
Yeah, it's kind of very interesting. I hadn't really... the name... When they came to me to look at it ahead of release, the name, you know, I had heard of it, but I never used the app. And it's kind of like one of these all-encompassing finance apps that, you know, takes in all of your different accounts. You have multiple credit cards and checking accounts and, you know, investment accounts and things like that, and gives you like one of these overviews where you can see, you know, where's all my money coming from? Where is it going? And the biggest thing that they do, like Jerry just talked about, you know, credit card breaches, is they proactively look for any kind of issues with, you know, if they find out, you know, ahead of time, you know, before the news is broken that, you know, there was a data breach at a store, it goes back and looks and see if you ever shopped at that store during the time that it was affected. And they proactively come to you and say, hey, you need to talk to your credit card company about that, and make it kind of a one-tap affair where you can report fraudulent charges through the app. So there's no going to your banking website, looking for a phone number and calling the number. It's kind of just making it a lot easier for you to manage your money. You know, it's not going to be able to, you know, force you to stick to a budget or anything like that. You know, they know that people just don't do that, but it's kind of got this thing where it just makes it easy. You know, here's your list of your last 20 transactions, go through these, see if you actually made these. You know, they've saved, you know, they quote, you know, millions and millions of dollars that they've saved people in fraudulent charges. You know, that's something that happens every day to people. And, you know, having one more tool to help you with that is, you know, it's a good thing. Whether or not you stick with it maybe for months and months is a different, you know, kind of depends on what your strength is there on your finances, but having the ability to do that is pretty awesome.
Well, it can consolidate accounts, right? I can have, see, that would be a big plus for me, because right now I use two different apps to monitor two different credit cards, and one app that can handle both means less time for Jerry.
Right, and all the major banks have their own apps and things like that, but they're not always the best experiences. This is actually a really good experience, and it's smooth and well-designed. I referred to it as, you know, drawing a lot of design ideas from just leading apps overall, not just finance apps.
You've convinced me.
So it's very useful as far as, you know, where's all my money at? Where is it going? You know, it's something good to know. We all know we should be doing it, but we don't do it.
Is it easier than just going to the like credit card website and actually keeping up on your stuff? Like, is the idea you just have it all in one place?
Right. The idea is to have it in one place, and they kind of do this email inbox type of paradigm where it just lists all of your charges, and you swipe it to the right to say, yes, I made that charge. You swipe it to the left. You can pin it to the top to look at it later, or you can report it right through the app if there's a fraudulent charge. So you can dive into the different categories. You know, I spent this much on food. Like, that's kind of a normal thing that a lot of the apps do, but this will look at it from all accounts, and you can put in cash balances and stuff like that just to help you budget. This isn't as much of a, okay, I'm only going to spend $300 on food this month kind of app, and then it, you know, beeps at you if you use more than that. It's more of a, here's all the information, do with it what you will.
I should really use something like that just to keep track of all the automatic payments I have. Like, I have no idea.
Right. All the subscription payments that come out every single month for this, that, and the other thing. Because they don't land on the same date, right? You have, you know, on the 5th and the 17th and, you know, the 30th, you know, all these different things coming out.
Every time I get my Google Play Music subscription renewal notice, I'm like, what? Oh, okay.
I just bought something at Google Play? What happened?
Yeah. I kind of wish the email itself just looked different.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Do you think, are people still having a hard time canceling that? We're still getting emails from people saying, I canceled it. Why am I still being charged?
I'm not sure. I'm still on the, you know, promotional $8. Yeah. So I've never had much of a want to get rid of it, but I don't know. I don't know if they're having issues where if you hit cancel, it doesn't actually do it. Hmm. It's great service. I don't know why you'd want to.
Yeah. I love it. And actually, and I especially love it now that it's working through Sonos, right? So I finally bought a Sonos a few weeks ago. How about that for a segue, boys and girls? Well, I guess it only really matters if you're looking at the script like I am. But that was a hell of a segue right there. But like, my big complaint when I first tried Sonos was like, this app is crap. This app is no good. So I got into the beta just as soon as I figured it out. And the beta was so much better. And it's finally released this week. If for some reason you have a Sonos and haven't updated it, you need to do it right now. Because it's night and day. It's still not perfect. You know, still some little UI things like... You have to figure out that you have to tap the Sonos logo up top to, you know, pull out the menu or go back or whatever. When, you know, Android handles things better if you follow directions. But wow, it's so much better. I need to buy you guys some, don't I?
Yes.
Is it Christmas time yet?
The soundbar and the wireless.
Whoa, hey, let's cute. That's crazy talk.
Well, you're the one that said it.
I don't even have a soundbar. I don't know if I want the soundbar. I keep going back and forth on that.
Well, if you buy me one, I can tell you if I like it or not.
That's true. Somebody's going to have to review it for Connectedly, right?
That somebody is right here.
We'll see. I'll see what I can do. Maybe
I'll need the subwoofer, too. It's probably...
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you, the review will be... It's useless without the subwoofer. So,
Is anyone here actually using the stock Twitter app, the official Twitter app?
I've given up on that again. Yeah.
For my very slight Twitter needs, I use it.
Oh, you know what I use? Yeah. Oh, no. It's the next.
I use it. I go back and forth between that and yeah, a handful of other third party ones. I think that it's annoying in the way it arranges tabs and stuff, but I find that certain things it does better than maybe it allows third party apps to do.
So you're supposed to be able to mute people now, which mm-hmm. is why I bring it up, but I can't figure that out.
Which is something that the third-party clients have been able to do, and even more powerful, where you can mute a user. Only, you know, you can set, okay, mute this person for the next 6 hours, or mute this hashtag or this word or something like that for a certain set of time. So it's kind of like this is something, well, admittedly, more people are using the first-party client than the third-party ones, but it's kind of like this is kind of a half feature. It's not something that, you know, if you wanted this feature before, you could have had it.
It's one of those things where it's like, look what we have given you. And we're all standing around saying, we've had this for a long time on other stuff, and which is kind of Twitter's MO, right? And Facebook. And
mm-hmm.
Is it a website? No, it's in the apps, right?
I just want to.
It should be in the apps as well. Like I said, I haven't used the first party one in a long time because it's, you know, kind of bad.
What does Jerry want a button for?
It says mute all.
Oh, I see. So I see it on the website, but I still don't see it in the app.
Hmm. I want like a snooze thing that you can press the button and your Twitter notifications just stop for 6 hours, oh, 8 hours, whatever.
Yeah, I can't have notifications on. But
well, but I like to have notifications popular. On or because I don't use Twitter, I forget about it.
Right.
The Twitter I use is the Android Central account. And we want to keep track on what you all have to say to us. You know, you say a lot of important things. We want to read them. But when I'm busy, I don't want Twitter going off every few minutes. I'd love an easy way to snooze that. And if they can mute accounts, let's just mute everything for a predetermined amount of time.
Yep, just like Hangouts does it, right? Snooze notifications.
Right.
So here's the question. That's Do you think I'm going to be able to finish Monument Valley by the end of the podcast?
I think I can gone through it once, so.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know what I'm doing.
Phil Nickinson, man-child.
I'm totally paying attention to everything
you guys are saying. Multitasking extraordinaire. Play Monument Valley and do an hour-long podcast.
Hey, by the way, we updated the Android Central app this week, and it's a pretty important update, which is why I've been singing about it. We had actually found a bug in Android with the way the widgets work, and I actually think I understand this from a almost developer level. So
do it.
So let me see if I get this right, Jerry. So when the widget pulls in data, it throws it in memory, right? Instead of writing it to your hard drive, right? Instead of writing it to storage. I say hard drive because whatever. But it wasn't actually doing that. So every time it would dump out of memory, it would re-download all that crap all over again and just totally kill data. And I, you know, that's not good. And it turns out that's a bug in Android. It wasn't a bug on our part. So we have fixed it. And it should be much easier on your data now and fix some memory stuff and the way it caches things. And so it should be speedier overall. So actually, we updated all the Mobile Nation's Android apps. If you use the Crackberry app or the Connectedly app, or go get the Connectedly app, actually, if you're not using it yet. So that's all updated, much better now, fixed.
Your explanation was very nice.
Thank
very,
you.
Very well done.
But
for the nerds, I want to clarify. Phil, they'll email us.
Yes, I know.
What it does is
I don't care. I'm playing Monument Valley.
A widget, when it caches data, it caches it to RAM until the RAM gets full. Based on the Android build, you can say when the RAM is full for a certain app, then it's supposed to write it to disk. That write to disk command was getting ignored by Android, not just our app. It just was right. An Android bug. So you flushed your RAM. And then the app said, oh, there's no data cached. Let's re-download it all.
Right, and that could be an issue if there's been 30 posts with images right. and videos and everything on all in it.
I thought that's what I said.
It is, but you forgot to tell the people where the bug was.
Oh.
And I didn't want them to.
Well, I was busy playing Monument Valley.
I said you did you did good, Phil.
Thank you. How does this turn? Turn! That way. Uh-oh. What's going on here? I got my wife playing this the other day, and she's like, well, yeah, like, just the look on her face was, what? And I'd show her one little thing, and you just see the light bulb go on. Such a fun game. And you can play while you're podcasting.
Well, you can play while you're podcasting.
Shouldn't you play it while you're podcasting?
No.
Probably not. All right. Fine. I'll stop. any other app stuff you guys want to talk about? Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City, and San
Andreas. Big deal, actually.
Fire. I thought that was a big deal. Yeah, because I mean, Fire TV is really good for games, guys.
I think just the start. I turn it on and take a look at these the Grand Theft Auto games, and the game library, since I reviewed the Fire TV, has really picked up. They said that there would be, you know, there was a couple hundred at launch games that, you know, of varying quality as, you know, happens in app stores. But now they're really pumping in some good titles. And the fact that it worked with Amazon, it works perfectly with the game controllers. I mean, that's, you know, worth, I think they're charging $6 for one and $5 each for the other two. I mean, that's a pretty good deal.
You know what they need to make? I discovered this week. I need a kid's controller. Because I picked up our Fire TV controller, and it was disgusting for my children. They're 3 and 7. And if you have kids, you know that kids get pretty nasty and dirty. And, like, this controller was just caked in kid goo. Yeah. I took it to the sink and had to hose it off. Ugh. It was disgusting. I want a kid controller, a kid-friendly controller.
You just want a second controller, one that says dad only on the back.
Can you buy a second? That's a good question, actually, because a lot of the stuff we're playing is two-player. And
yeah, you can buy up to buy a second one? You can run, I think some of the games support up to 6 controllers.
No, but like the little remote, not just a game controller.
Oh, I don't think you can buy an extra remote. You can buy the game controller, though.
Let me look.
Fire only $95. Buy a new Fire with a second remote.
$28.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that wasn't available at launch.
Cool.
Actually, the controllers were all sold out, too, so that's good.
Yeah.
With how small that controller or the remote is, you know, somebody's going to sit on it or kick it under a couch and lose it forever. Or
gunk it up with kid goo.
Mm-hmm.
There's another possible title for the show, but probably not, because that's kind of gross.
Ruin it because you took it to the sink and hosed it off.
Oh, it's going to be one of those podcasts. What else is going on? Did we talk about the Google I.O. schedule? That's out. I didn't see anything. Every now and then they let something leak in there, but it's been a while. I didn't see anything offhand that was overly, like, holy crap.
People make a big deal about the fact Google Plus isn't on there.
I wouldn't.
What do you guys think of that?
Mm-hmm.
What if?
But people make a big deal over everything.
So what if they just don't have much to talk about with Google Plus?
Or what if it's just not added yet, because they always add sessions later?
Or what if Google Plus is dead? It's a ghost town. Everybody's left.
Google's
discontinue it. Reader Part 2.
Yeah. Don't know means don't know.
Jerry, you should write headlines for a living.
Good thing I fix headlines for a living. Oh. What else? Alex.
Samsung Galaxy S5 wireless charging.
Yes.
So this is, I think, slowly trickling out supplies of this. We got one here. It's kind of the same idea as the wireless charger for the Note 3 and S4 in that it adds a little bit of bulk to the back of it. I think you can see a GIF of a comparison of the regular back and the wireless charging back in our article today. But it's basically your phone gets a little bit bulkier, a little bit heavier, but you can use it with a wireless charger. So you're no longer fiddling around with a horrible plastic flap at the bottom of the phone to plug it in. To drop it on a charger, you're all good, you're set, and you can have it charging throughout the day. So, just a big convenience factor there, I think.
And I have one of those weird little inserts on the way here from China.
See, my problem with those is you put those in the back, they risk sort of bulging out the back, and like they would. I think I used one with either the S3 or the S4.
Oh, did you?
Very, very briefly, because it kind of, you know, it actually bent the shape of the back. And the problem with doing that on the S5 is, of course, you got the rubber gasket in there for water resistance, and if you can only have so much give before the seal's broken and water starts seeping in. So that could be an issue.
Yeah, I've never used one before, so we'll see how well it works, if it works at all. So that was kind of my...
Well, I just... Bad on you, Samsung, for not putting that in. I'm sorry.
Well, they didn't put it in because, I guess, of the thickness factor. If you want to have a removable back, if you want to have a removable...
But if they had put it in...
If they had designed the phone around the idea that the Qi would be in there...
Yeah.
Yeah, but then again, are they going to design the phone around that, or are they going to design the phone around removable everything, which is, I don't know. I can kind of see why they...
I care less that it's thicker and more that it wasn't available at launch. Or even now, a few weeks later.
Or even now, yeah.
Yeah, just because that the flap on the door is, it's a pain.
And just USB ports in general and plugging in your phone every night is a pain.
I mean, you get spoiled, but yeah, it should have been available at launch.
It's a big convenience factor for those of us who like using that, but you got to imagine that's a very, very small proportion of the millions upon millions of S5s that are going to be out there.
More people should use it.
My whole thing is there's a flap over the USB port, and if it breaks, your phone's no longer waterproof. That means it needs to have wireless charging built in from the get-go. Sorry. You know, they sold a phone that they know is going to be broken and become not waterproof eventually. And I don't like that kind of stuff. I'm sorry. I'll shut up.
Poor Jerry. I wrote a little thing on ads in your mobile Gmail inbox.
And why you're so outraged.
I should be mad. Like, normally that's the sort of thing I would hate. And I do kind of hate it. But the rest of me is just like, I don't care. It's just one more thing in that promotions tab that I don't use most of the time. I only put it back in there so I could see it. Because people kept emailing us. You know, there's an ad in my Gmail. I was like, all right, I'll take a look. And sure enough, it finally showed up. It's for Delta's Economy Comfort. And by the way, they're getting more free advertising now because we're talking about it. I mean, at least
it's something... good job targeting you if it was for Delta.
Oh, no, absolutely, right? So, I mean, and I fly Delta. Didn't quite hit the mark because of my frequent flyer status with Delta. I get that stuff free anyway. But yeah, I mean, at least it was something that I could potentially need or want. Yeah. At first blush, I'm like, holy crap, there's an ad in my inbox, right? It's my inbox. Although it's not really my inbox, but...
There have been ads in your inbox on the web through Gmail for years and years, right?
This one just looks different.
Yeah.
See, what you do is you buy a Raspberry Pi and put two network interfaces in it, and you set up the IP table so it blocks that. And when you're on Wi-Fi, you don't have ads in your Gmail app. I have nothing there.
It was just so easy to get rid of, though. You know, whether you swipe it away or whether you just get rid of that promotions tab altogether. And actually, I've left the promotions tab because it is doing a pretty good job of catching crap that's really not important.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's been an interesting discussion, and that was the point of the whole thing. Like, if it bothers you, awesome. I'm glad it does. And you should speak out against it. If it doesn't bother you, I think I'm okay with that too, just because it's such a small thing and I have more important things to worry about than one more piece of junk in my inbox, whether it's from Google or whether it's from somebody else. To me, it's just not that big a deal.
If you have a problem with it, you use Yahoo or Hotmail and you look at their ads instead.
Yeah, I still trust Gmail and what it's doing over... No, actually, it's not even a matter of trust. It's just that's what I use, and I like it.
Yeah, you're roped in. You could stop trusting it, and you'd still have to use it.
Yeah. I don't know if it does it because I pay for a Google Apps account for the website I was talking about earlier, and for other personal stuff. Because I wanted to try it first of all, and that's what we use for work stuff too. But I wanted to try it and see how easy it was to set up and stuff. So that's what we have, and I don't know because I don't use that mail properly. I just pulled in through my normal Gmail that I use anyway. So I don't know if you're using like a personal Google Apps account like that or business account if you get those. I'm betting you don't.
Yeah, there's a different level of service when you have a paid account.
Yeah, exactly, because then you're paying for it. So I don't know. It was interesting. It was an interesting little experiment.
And as far as mobile ads go, it's pretty much the best mobile ad experience possible. It's not some... flashing random pop-up ad that slows down the app down at the bottom that you see on every other free app.
I thought it was pretty unobtrusive. What do you guys think of this Samsung Heathrow thing? I just wanted to briefly talk about that.
I think it's absolutely bonkers.
They're taking over an entire terminal. It's Galaxy S or Terminal Galaxy S5.
Terminal is huge.
Yeah. They've done it before. My very first Mobile World Congress, they had all but taken over the airport in Barcelona, you know, just stuff everywhere. Like, it's more Samsung branding and marketing, whatever. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe it's easy to overstate how much of a takeover it's going to be. We don't know how, you know, every single sign surely isn't going to be replaced to say terminal Samsung Galaxy S5. It's not a
rebranding. I wouldn't put that past them.
Is my Google Now card going to say you're arriving at terminal Galaxy S5?
And that would be too far, I think. As I understand it, they haven't actually bought the rights to change the name of the terminal wholesale. This only lasts for 2 weeks. So nothing permanent is going on. Nothing. I don't think that the changes are going to be too deep because they would have to get rid of them after 2 weeks anyway. And, you know, for the sake of security and not confusing the hell out of people, you'd have to limit how much you say Terminal Galaxy S5 if they're even officially allowed to do that. The idea of...
We're all talking about Samsung again, so it worked.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I think that the idea is that, like you say, we're talking about Samsung and that it's just another one of their marketing things. It's another.
I have a feeling it's basically going to be everywhere that you would normally see a billboard or an ad or anything, you know, advertising in the terminal. It's all going to be Samsung ads, the entire terminal. So pretty much you can't go anywhere without looking at an S5 or a Note 3 ad.
I think the way it's explained in the press release is maybe a little bit, I don't know, we use the word Orwellian necessarily because that's kind of, but I mean, that's the impression, right? Airport terminals are basically holding areas for travelers, right? And if you are in this sort of enclosed space that you can't get out of, surrounded by Samsung branding, then that is just kind of a little scary on some level, I think.
Well, they do that every once in a while in big metro tunnels and things like that. You know, they'll buy out an entire area of a metro stop or something.
But you can get out of a metro stop.
Well, you can, a little easier. But if you're sitting there waiting for the train, right, you have no choice but to look at, you know, the Apple ad or the Samsung ad or whatever. This is just on a grander scale, being an entire terminal.
And I think universally everyone who writes in this space, who I've seen talk about this, is against it just because we feel like we've been beaten over the head. I think to normal people, it's not going to be a big deal at all. They're not, I mean,
oh, even Samsung, if they notice. I've heard of them before.
Yeah.
I think the reality of this is going to be a lot less crazy and beating people over the head with branding than the impression given by this press release today.
Yeah.
I just wish they had taken that money and bought another user interface designer instead.
Or spent it on Qi charging coils for the S5.
And actually, didn't they oust one of the head designers for the Galaxy S5?
Well, supposedly there was some... a disagreement over that, over what actually happened. Samsung. Oh, really? I think Samsung's line was that the person below him had been promoted. He was moving on to look at the overall design strategy through leading their design group. But the report out of, I think it was the Wall Street Journal, maybe another newspaper, I forget, but it was basically that he'd offered his resignation after reaction to the GS5's design was less than perfect.
You know, it's one of those things, and we talked about this, you know, a couple of weeks ago with HTC when they were, you know, losing a couple of people in 1 week. So much inside baseball for that sort of thing, and especially for a company like Samsung that's so huge, and I don't even pretend to begin to understand the culture of a company like that, you know, be it for the size of the company or, you know, an Asian company like that. I would just caution against reading little too much into that or reading what you want to into it, you know?
And I didn't mean to sound like anybody needs to get fired.
Sure.
I don't think that's the solution. I think they need more help because it needs a lot of thinking for how to do everything they do in a way that's a little less touch-whizzy. And they can get there if they have the right guys working at it.
Fair enough. I don't know. You can text a 911 in emergency from some places, not from everywhere. I think we oversold that a little.
Yeah, I kind of swore that this was a thing before yesterday.
In a lot of places, it was.
I'm just making sure I'm not crazy. I mean, those things might not be mutually exclusive, but I could have swore I remember that.
Phil can just push that button on his phone and it'll scream.
Luckily, it's not texting 911 every time he does that.
No, right?
Get the authorities on him.
All right, I want to do a few more Q&As, and then actually we have some good emails to do, and then we'll get out of here. What do you say? Let's start with the emails before I forget, because I don't want to forget them. Our pal Sutton asks, I'm in the market for a new smartphone, currently using an unlocked Galaxy Nexus, and it's getting slower and slower. I want to go to either the Nexus 5 or the Galaxy S5, but I'm having a hard time deciding because the carrier I'm with, Wind Mobile in Canada, is offering the GS5, but with my current plan, I'd have to buy it outright. It's got me thinking, what if I was to get the Nexus 5 instead because it's cheaper? Well, Nexus 5 is still a pretty good phone, right?
Absolutely, it is. And if you like how your Galaxy Nexus works, and your only problem is how slow it is, buy a Nexus 5.
Yeah.
Or I think my biggest problem with the Nexus 5, you probably wouldn't even notice going from a GS5 as going from a Galaxy Nexus to a Nexus 5. That's the battery life, because
it's pretty bad too.
It's pretty bad on the GNX as well.
I'm afraid going from a Galaxy Nexus to a Galaxy S5, your brain may explode. They're like the very opposite of the spectrum.
Yeah.
So be careful there.
You say so. I had an interesting question today from Toby. He's asked, any suggestions on how to clean the back of a Moto X? I have a royal blue back, and it's getting very dirty around the edges. I've tried Windex as well as alcohol to no effect. Any suggestions? Yes, don't use Windex and don't use alcohol. Is there anything worse to clean a phone than those two?
Alcohol wouldn't be terrible as long as you're not like dousing it in it, because it evaporates so quickly. Windex, very bad idea.
I found with the developer edition, but this is because it's white, so think I may be way off base. Those Magic Eraser Mr. Clean sponge thingies do a pretty good job, but they may be bleaching it, so...
Yeah, I think those are only for light or white surfaces.
I've heard of people using that on the blue one, I think, either the blue or the yellow. I would definitely look around on forums and see what people suggest, I think. But that is one possibility.
But that's the problem with the soft touch back on the Moto X. Feels really, really nice. But unless you have black, it absorbs dirt color, kid goo, whatever that's called. What's it called, Phil? Kid goo?
I believe you're thinking of Whistling Toucan.
What was the show name? I forget. See, somebody has to remind me.
Whistling Toucan.
Whistling Toucan? It's a horrible show name.
Yes, it is.
Oh, all right. Let's do some more Q&A. Mike wants to know, what launchers are you guys using? I'm still using Action Launcher Pro.
Google Now Launcher.
Well, I use what came with the phone.
Really?
Yeah, well, I'm using a Nexus and a Moto X.
Okay.
They work for me. They're fine.
So I've been reviewing so much stuff recently that I've mostly been stock as well. But I have done... I've gone Google Now Launcher on some phones.
Paulie wants to know, and our pal Sachin asked too, about OnePlus apparently sending out some empty boxes to the people for the Smash Your Phone contest. What are they going to do about it? I have a really good feeling they're going to give the people phones, guys.
Yeah, they're probably going to apologize and send people phones. Yeah. But that is, you know, that kind of stinks.
That's crappy, and it shouldn't happen. And it's, you know, Schadenfreude, it's funny. But, yeah, yikes.
I want to know why it happened. Once could be somebody in the delivery system may have absconded with the phone. Or it could have just been an error. They never put one in the box. But to happen more than once, I'd really like to know what's going on. People deserve an answer as well as a phone.
And on top of the fact that they're sending people phones without factory boxes and everything, saying that the boxes aren't ready yet, and then sending the boxes later. On top of that's a whole weird situation. You know,
never said.
The indication that they're a little far behind on their production schedules.
Yeah, they put out pictures this week of the retail boxes, which I mean, can we drag this on any longer, guys?
Like, that's really cool, but there are people who are getting the phone without boxes, and those are the people that, you know, are lucky enough to have the opportunity to buy one.
Never settle.
Well, I do want to say though, they may have a very good reason. We haven't heard their reason is my whole issue. You know, if it's production, just tell us it's production. If people got an empty box because you didn't have a phone to send, but you wanted to let them know they weren't forgotten, that's a good reason. Tell us. Just don't you have teased and teased and teased and pulled this out. Now that we come to the end, it's a cluster.
Yeah.
And that's not cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
I think that's it. I think we are done. If you want, you can email us podcast@androidcentral.com. Get us all on Google Plus. Just search our names. We are there. Some of us are on Twitter as well. You can, you know, find us. We are everywhere, especially those guys, not just me. So Do that. We are also brought to you by shopandroid.com. Call them at 888-468-6158. Shopandroid.com. That's it. We're done. See you next week. We are out.
I want to say hello to Thomas and Tanya.
Okay.
I met them at the mall yesterday. They're big fans.
Awesome.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
Cutest little kids.
Are they like brother, sister? Are they a couple?
Brother, sister. I think Thomas is 12. Tanya's 14. They love their little Moto Gs.
Awesome.
And they recognized me at the mall.
They're allowed to read Android Central and listen to the podcast?
Yes, they're allowed. They.
What are your parents thinking?
I thought that was cool.
Tell your parents it's all right. We're good people.
And I told them they wanted me to say hello on the podcast.
Hi, guys. Cool. All right, that's it. We'll see you later next week, I guess. Bye.
Bye.
See you later.
That fine Android Central podcast you just listened to was brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, and online store. For free trial and 10% off, visit squarespace.com/android and be sure to enter the offer code Android at checkout. A better web starts with your own website.